Every life is given the opportunity to end up as either a blessing or a curse. Which you will be is determined by all of the ordinary decisions you make along the way. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask now that you will bless us by your transforming holy word, that our lives may become a blessing to you. Amen. The Hebrews' long journey through the desert wilderness after leaving Egypt is now almost over, 40 years later. They are now encamped upon the plains of Moab, just across the Jordan River from the Promised Land. Now, the king of Moab is a man named Balak, son of Zippor. One of the reasons why I like preaching on the Old Testament is that the names are wonderful. Balak, son of Zippor. Balak knows that the Hebrews have already defeated the Amorites in battle on their way to the Promised Land, and he is very much afraid of them. In fact, we are told that all of Moab was filled with a great dread of the Hebrews because they were so numerous. According to a census that was about to be taken, they already numbered over 600,000, and that's just counting the men who were capable of going into battle. So the total number of all of the Hebrews by this point has to be in the millions. So you can understand the dread of the Moabites. Millions of people have suddenly moved into their country, having already proven their capacity for warfare. And their king, Balak, is terrified. So Balak tries to get a little divine help. Living in the area near Moab was another man named Balaam. Balaam was a diviner, a seer, a fortune teller. He was not a Hebrew, but he did know how to pray to the God that the Hebrews worshipped. So the frightened King Balak sent some of the frightened officials of Moab to Balaam's house. We're told that they arrived with the fees of divination in their hand. By the way, this combination of fear and money is always very dangerous. When you spend your money out of fear, it is never going to lead to a blessing. But if King Balak had wanted to be a blessing, he would have risen above his fear. And so will you have to rise above fear to be a blessing. Well, the frightened Moabite officials come to Balaam's house. They show him their money, and they ask him to come with them back to Moab, to the king, and to utter a curse against these Hebrews. Now, as a fortune teller, Balaam was in the business of cursing people all the time, and for a small fee, he would do that to anybody. But to curse millions of Hebrews, Balaam thought maybe he should pray about this first. Good idea. And when Balaam leaves the officials of Moab and goes to his prayer chamber and says, God, I have an opportunity here to take on this job of cursing Hebrews. Just wanted to run this by you. The Lord God says, absolutely not. You dare not go with those men to Moab because I have already chosen to bless the Hebrews. So Balaam comes back to the officials and he says, sorry, can't do it. The officials go back to Moab, tell the king that. The king sends more officials with even more money to try to tempt Balaam to come to Moab and curse the Hebrews. Now you get the idea as you read through this story that Balaam would really like to have this money. He keeps talking about how much it is, realizing that unless God lets them go, he can't take it. The New Testament epistle of Jude tells us that Balaam was motivated fundamentally by greed. But even Balaam knows that to go against God is a dangerous thing. So instead, he just keeps pestering God about this opportunity he has, asking God if he can't please go to Moab and take this job. It's going to be a great job. And finally, God says, okay, go ahead. If you want to keep asking God to let you waste your life collecting money, you know what? He'll let you do that. It is a curse against God. It's a curse against your own life. But God will let you start down that road, at least for a while. So the next morning, Balaam saddles his donkey and he heads towards Moab. Now, be clear here, he doesn't think that he's cursing God. He's been praying to God all along. How can he be cursing God? Balaam thinks he's just going to put a little hex on these Hebrews who've been bothering everybody. It's just another job for which he'll receive another fee. That's how he's put this together in his mind. But the text is clear. Balaam is on the road to cursing God. Blessing or cursing? That is the fundamental choice every one of us have to make about how we are going to spend our lives. Blessing or cursing? A curse is a way of profaning that which has a sacred purpose to it, like your life. Your life was created with a purpose that is so sacred that from your life we're supposed to get a glimpse of the bliss or blessing of heaven. But when we distort things from their sacred purpose, we turn the blessing into a curse. A cursed word is a way of profaning language. A cursed life is a way of profaning it from its sacred calling and purpose. So what about your life? When it's over, and we're all gathered back here in this sanctuary for your funeral, and people are standing up to give your eulogy, what will we be saying about you? Will we be saying that your life was essentially a blessing, or was it a curse? Be clear, no one will rise at your funeral and call you blessed just because you collected a lot of money. In fact, if that's all that you've done, if that's how you have wasted life, if like King Balak, you've spent all of your time with money trying to buy security, or like Balaam, you spent your time asking God to help you just collect a little bit more money. If that's what you've done with your life, then at the end, you will have clearly distorted, profaned its sacred purpose. Your life will have been a curse. Now, that's not what we want. Of course not. You wouldn't be here today if that's what you were interested in. We want our life to add up to being a blessing. We don't want to miss the sacred purposes that God had in mind for us from the beginning. Of course not. The problem is that somehow, like Balaam, we just keep ending up on the wrong road. If I were to ask you today, what are your priorities? You would say, well, it's things like my family, my health, my service to things that are important, like the country. If, like Balaam, you are a person who prays, you would also probably include the church in those priorities that you have. This place where we come to worship and encounter the presence of God, our commitment to compassionately caring for those who are sick and bereaved, our mission to those who are all around us who are in need of help, assistance in the name of Jesus Christ, our great commitment to teaching children and youth and adults the Word of God. These are all ways that you both receive a blessing here, and if you participate in them, they're ways in which you become a blessing. The priorities of your life. But if I were to then ask you to examine where your money is going, you may have a hard time justifying that the money is going to your priorities. It may in fact be that your money is going to a whole lot of things that really aren't priorities in your life. But you got on the wrong road with some debt. There goes the money. Think about it as two different pie charts. This one pie chart is a chart of the priorities of your heart. Family, health, church, all ways that you receive and participate in the blessings of God. The second pie chart demonstrates where the expenditure of your money goes. Debt. Two charts don't really line up together well, do they? The problem isn't with our heart. We've got wonderful hearts. The problem is that somehow we wound up on the wrong road, and now we can no longer fund our priorities. And when you cannot fund the blessed priorities of life, that means that it is difficult for you to be a blessing. And if you're not using your life to be a blessing, then that means that you are distorting it, profaning it from its sacred purpose. It means that you are being a curse. Blessing or cursing? It's the only two options you have. Now again, none of us would dare say that we want to use our life to curse God. Of course not. But it's those officials from Moab who got us on the wrong road. They keep showing us one advertisement after another. In the course of a day, we see hundreds of them that tell us we'll be happy if we just buy this product. Then the officials of Moab send us applications for new credit cards every day in the mail. You are already approved, they say. Oh, and it feels so good to already be approved. It's the only approval you've gotten all day, right there in the box. They'll put this little card in your hand and you can go out like Balaam and buy your dreams. But none of that stuff really makes you happy. It just makes you more and more in debt. And suddenly you're horrified to realize how much of your disposable income is going to maintaining debt. You don't know if you can even keep up with it all. Then the officials of Moab offer you a more demanding job that will pay a little bit more money so you can service this debt. But it will take a whole lot more of your time. It will pull you further away from the blessings of life. So now you are stuck with a job that you don't really like, but you've got to have in order to afford a lifestyle that you don't really like either. And that is a curse. In fact, you'll find that you're cursing most of the day. You curse going off to work. You curse throughout the day at work. You certainly curse on your way home from work. When heaven sees that, maybe heaven curses as well. You have got to take control. I'm not telling you to give all your money to the church. I'm telling you to stop being a victim. In the words of Jesus, put your treasure where your heart is. Fund your priorities. If the church is among those priorities, then fund it as well as the other things that are really important to you. The missions, the projects you really care about, fund them. But stop saying to these projects and ministries and missions, gee, I wish I could do more. If you really wish that, then do more. You're the steward. The money's in your hands. You can put it where you want. Blessing or cursing? It's up to you. Now, if like Balaam, you find that you have indeed wandered onto the wrong road with money, and you're stuck, and you don't really know how to get off this road, the wonderful news I have for you is that God will keep interrupting your path. As Balaam continued to ride his donkey towards Moab, an angel of the Lord appeared on the road, holding an enormous sword. Balaam didn't see this angel, but his donkey did. So the donkey veered off the road onto the field. This irritated Balaam, and so he struck the donkey to get it back on the road. A little further down the path, where the road went between two steep rock walls, the angel appeared once again holding the sword. Again, Balaam didn't see it, but in order to avoid the angel, the donkey moves up against the rock wall, striking Balaam's foot against the wall. And Balaam again gets angry and he strikes the donkey to get it back on path. A third time down the road, a very narrow place in the road, the large angel with the large sword reappears yet again. And this time, Balaam's donkey just lies down right on the path. Balaam, so furious with this donkey, just keeps beating it. Well, the Lord and the donkey have had enough of this by now. So the Lord opens the donkey's mouth, and the donkey talks to Balaam and says, "Cut it out, will ya?" Balaam is so enraged at the donkey, he's not even impressed that it's talking to him. He just says to the donkey, "You're lucky I don't have a sword. I'd slice you up into little pieces of donkey meat." And right about that time, the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel with the sword, who tells him that the donkey's been saving his life all along. So Balaam falls to the ground. He falls on his face, actually. He says, "I have sinned against God." For the first time in history, you hear a donkey say, "Amen." If you persist on the road that leads to cursing, God can use anything to get your attention. The stuff you keep buying, it's just going to break. The new house, the new cars, they're never going to be good enough. The job that you have to afford all this stuff is sucking away your soul. When these things happen, when you discover that it's happened, you can either get angry or you can stop and see what is so obvious. Any dumb donkey can see that this is the road that is leading to destruction. Pay attention to the malaise of your soul. It's calling you to fall on your face before God and to beg for help. After his confession, the angel lifts Balaam up. And he, in fact, sends him to go on to Moab. Only instead of cursing the Hebrews, Balaam is now given the words for uttering a blessing to the Hebrews. Of course, he didn't receive quite the fat fee for that, but he did get to be a blessing. If you want to take control of your life again in order to be a blessing, then begin by falling on your face and confessing to God that you are out of control. The angels will take it from there. They'll give you the courage to make the tough financial decisions you've got to make. They'll show you how to put your money into your priorities. They will restore your life to its sacred purpose. They'll turn your fear into faith and your cursing and to bless it. But it begins with telling the truth. Let us pray. Lord God, we do confess that we have wandered onto the wrong road. So by your grace, lift us up again to invest our lives into things that will make us a blessing to you. Amen.